بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The fiqh of salah, conditions of prayer, the covering of the awrah and facing the qibla. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawm al-deen. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وحكما وهدى وتقى وعملا متقبلا يا ارحم الراحمين. اسال الله تعالى ان يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد واله وصحبه وسلم. اما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to welcome all of you to tonight's lesson in the fiqh of the salah. And we are continuing in the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. And the sharh is about Shaykh, our beloved Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, may Allah have mercy upon him, from Masjid An-Nabawi. We covered the concept of the shurut in the last halaqa, which is that the shart in Arabic language, it means that which is required for another thing to take place. That is, if that thing is absent, then the thing that is dependent upon it is also absent. This is what the fuqaha, how they decide, they define the shart. So the shurut of the salah are those things that if they are absent, they render the prayer invalid. And so therefore it is very, very important to know what these things are. Because without knowing these things and doing them properly, that would render the entire prayer batil, invalid. And so last time we covered the first of these shurut. The first shart, does anybody recall? The first condition for prayer that one must do in order to prepare for the prayer. Yes. Yes, very good, mashallah. They must have the tahara. The tahara of the body, which is being pure from the major and minor hadath, or the major and minor types of impurities. That is to have the wudu and the ghusl, and the purity of one's clothing, which we mentioned also, that the clothing that one is wearing in the salah should be free from najasa or impurities, and also the place of prostration, the ground that one prays on, it should also be pure and free of impurities. So the first condition is tahara of the body and the clothing and the place of prayer. Very good, mashallah. Does anybody remember the second condition that we started last time? We're going to continue this time, inshallah. We spoke about the, yes. Adhan is not a condition for the prayer. Adhan is a sunnah in and of itself, or many of them might consider it wajib for or fard kifaya, but it's not a condition for the prayer itself. Yes. Remember the hadith about the girl, the Prophet ﷺ said that a girl who reached the age of menstruation, she cannot, her prayer is not accepted unless she covers herself with a khimar, which in the khimar, in the Arabic language, is the cloth used to cover the head and the neck and the jayb, which is the opening of the shirt. So we read that last time also, that the girl, she has to wear the khimar. Actually, today we're going to cover more on the issue of covering of the awrah. Covering of the awrah as a condition for the prayer. We spoke about the girl's, the woman's covering last time, and today we'll talk about the men's covering in the salah outside, and also speak a little bit more about the woman's awra in the salah, inshallah.
The shart tahara, so short salah is tahara in the makan.
The short?
Tahara in the makan.
Yes, yes.
Like a clean place.
Yes.
No, no. That's the inshallah, perhaps we're going to come to this in the future. There's a hadith about praying in the graveyard or in the bathroom, and perhaps we'll cover that in more detail. But generally speaking, the place where one is making sajda, it should be free of any of the impurities. Any of the impurities. No. Inshallah, we'll cover that more inshallah. Future lesson, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Now, so for tonight, inshallah, we'll read the hadith together, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This hadith is narrated by Jabir radiallahu anhu, who said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له إن كان الثوب واسعا فالتحف به يعني في الصلاة ولمسلم فخالف بين طرفيه وإن كان ضيقا فاتزر به متفق عليه. So here in this hadith, on the authority of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet ﷺ told him, if your cloth, your robe, is very long or very loose, then wrap your body with it. And in another narration of Muslim, in the Salah, in another narration it says, make the two edges different. That is, if it is long, then wrap one edge below and the other edge above the shoulders. And if it is thin or small, then just wrap it around the waist. Now, so this hadith is agreed upon. So here this is talking about the type of clothing they wore in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Nowadays we have shirts, pants, and jackets, and dresses. We don't really wrap the cloth that much anymore. But in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the fuqaha, they mentioned that a person has to cover the awrah in the salah. And covering of the awrah for the men is from the navel to the knees. This is in the salah and outside of the salah. It's the same for the men. From the navel down to the knees. But it's best to cover the shoulders as well, to cover the upper body. This is what is better. Because in the prayer, Allah says, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ خُدُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. O children of Adam, take your most beautiful dress to every masjid. Meaning that we shouldn't wear just the bare minimum. We should wear what is the best of clothing, which covers the awrah, and the scholars, they say, if we can, we should also cover the top part of the body. So the best is to cover the shoulders. And even the Prophet ﷺ, he told the Sahaba, if you have a separate dress for Jummah, that would be better. Not the dress that you wear to work, but you have a separate dress for Jummah, then you should do that. And Umar radiallahu anhu, a very interesting narration, he saw somebody selling a very beautiful robe. Very, very beautiful robe. So right away he bought it, and he brought it to Rasulullah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I bought this for you so you can meet the delegations wearing this very nice robe. And you can pray the Eid prayer in it. The Prophet said something, when he saw that, he said that this robe is for somebody who has no share in the akhirah. The reason he said that is because it had silk. It was made out of silk. And silk is not allowed for the men. But other than that, he didn't reject his idea of giving him a robe for the special occasions. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he had something called a burda, a cloak that he used to wear when he would meet the delegations and when he went out for the Eid prayer and special prayers. And even this burda, it was passed on for many generations. Even to the time of Muawiyah, they kept that burda. So the Prophet ﷺ, he did wear special clothing on occasions, in beautiful clothing. And a narration says, "Husnu samt min al-iman." Good appearance is part of iman. So generally speaking, the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't reject the thought of Umar to buy a beautiful dress for him to wear. But he rejected it because it had silk. And so the fuqaha, they say that wearing good clothing in a prayer is something recommended. And Allah says, فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the blessings of Allah, then speak about them. And what this means, the ulama, they say that if Allah blesses a person, then he should show traces of the blessing on his body. He should show traces of it. He shouldn't do it out of arrogance. He shouldn't wear silk. He shouldn't show off and waste, but he should wear something of the blessings that Allah gave him. And this is part of showing gratitude to Allah. And Allah, he loves to see that on his servant. He loves to see the traces of his blessing. Okay, so in this hadith, it says that if you have enough cloth, cover the shoulders, because this is more beautiful, more perfect than the salah. But if you don't, then just wrap it around the waist. And that indicates that the awra is what? Where is the awra? The private area for the men? Navel to the knees. Does it include the shoulders? It doesn't include the shoulders. Because if he said just wrap it around the waist if you don't have enough cloth. No. So it's allowed to do that. But some of the ulama, they make a differentiation. They say the major awra and the minor awra. The major awra is the actual private part, and it's very strict. And then you have the minor awra, which is the thigh. And they say if it gets uncovered a little bit in the prayer, for example, there's no harm in that. That's not the major awra. The major awra is the actual private part. So some of the ulama, they differentiate between the two of these. Now, so this is what the hadith indicates. To protect the prayer, we put it on the shoulders. However, we have another hadith, another narration, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يُسَلِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ أَوْ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. He said, don't pray, any of you, in one robe without anything on your shoulders. So this narration, some of the ulama, they said it's wajib in the salah to cover the shoulders. Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded that if one has enough cloth to do that. If it's not available, then it's okay to pray, covering the navel to the knees. But it be considered it wajib to cover it over that. Now what happens if somebody, here's a few masail, the fuqaha they talk about. What if somebody doesn't have any cloth except one that has impurities on it, and he doesn't have any water to clean it? So what should he do?
He can use that.
Should he pray without any cloth?
No.
Or should he pray with the cloth with the impurity on it? Which is more important, covering the awra or making sure that one is wearing is pure?
Covering the awra
is more important. Okay, that one? No, that's correct. And if one does that, then the prayer is accepted. But if they find water before the prayer time is over, they should wash it and wash the cloth and pray again. Now another issue, if there's a group of people praying and they only have one piece of cloth, what should they do? What should they do? If they only have one clean cloth and everybody else, their cloth has impurity. And actually, subhanAllah, actually on a serious note, some of the scholars who were imprisoned, they mentioned that these fiqh masail came in reality when they were in prison, because they didn't have pure clothing. And how do they pray without covering, etc., or in a small area and they don't have pure clothing? They actually had to use these masail. Now, but so here, if you have a group of people and you only have one pure clothing, and the whole group, so how do they pray?
the one clothing to the inner, you know.
Before that, okay, that's, I was going to, first of all, if you don't pray in Jama'at, you can one by one, each person can take the clean one and they can do their salah individually. If they want to pray in Jama'at and they only have one cloth, you give it to the imam. Why? The imam is in front. You want to make sure the imam is covered. He's in front now. And if people are behind, they're in one row, they don't see each other's awla. But the imam, he has to be covered. If the place is too small to do one Jama'at, where they're being, where they have to pray, so then what do? They can split up into groups, you know, a couple of people at a time, they pray in shifts. Now what happens if a person has a ripped pants, for example, and the thigh is showing? Is their prayer, if they pray, they kind of fold their pants and try to make sure that their thigh doesn't show. Is that okay? Will that be accepted? They say this is okay. This is okay, small, let the rip in the pants and they try to fold it so that the thighs don't show, then this is acceptable. What about somebody's praying and the wind blows and uncovers their awra? Right away they cover it up. Say they had a loincloth and they're in hajj, the wind blew and uncovered their thigh, so they cover it up. Is their prayer invalidated by that uncovering?
It's valid. It's valid.
If they cover it up right away, this type of uncovering is forgiven. If they didn't cover it up and they left it that way, then the prayer would become invalid. But as long as they covered it up right away, then it would suffice. And so this is what the ulama, they say that a passing thing, that something that happens very quickly, it's forgiven. But it's only if the whole prayer is done that way, or a portion of the prayer is done that way, then the prayer would become invalid. Now, another interesting ruling here. When you talk about covering the awrah, is it from below or from above? Like for example, somebody, they're praying at home, they just have a thoba, nothing on underneath. So if somebody were below that person, and they were to look inside, they would see their awrah. But from above, they wouldn't see anything. So which angle is considered covering? From below or from above?
From above.
What happens below, it doesn't affect the prayer. So for example, if somebody's praying and he just had the overgarment, he didn't have the pants on, and somebody happened to be below on a lower floor and he looked up and he was sleeping or something and he saw the man's awrah, would that man's prayer be invalid?
No.
No, because he covered from the top down, and that's sufficient in the prayer. But what if the person himself, when he goes for ruku' and the opening is very wide, and when he goes in ruku' he sees part of his awrah? What happens to his prayer? Prayer is invalidated. That's right. Even the opening here, if he sees, because from above he's seeing, if he sees his awrah, that's right, his own prayer will be invalid. What's very interesting, the fuqaha said, if he has a large beard, this is what they mentioned, if he has a large beard and it covers the opening, so he doesn't see inside, what happens?
He doesn't see nothing?
It doesn't affect the prayer.
It doesn't affect.
Yeah, because the beard covered the opening of the soul. No. This is what the fuqaha has mentioned. But it has to be a thick beard, so you can't see through it. No. Okay, we'll go to the next hadith, inshallah. So that was the hadith about the men's awrah. I hope it's clear. From the navel to the knees, it's good to cover the shoulders, if one can. And brief uncovering by accident, it doesn't harm. But if it can be seen from above, then that will nullify the prayer, inshallah. Okay then, yes?
You had a question, like for hajj.
Yes.
You wear the ihram.
Yes.
And
that's a good point.
If somebody else sees.
You're, so when you're.
Some people sit in all directions.
Right, right.
You know,
That's a different issue now. I mean, that's outside of salah. Inside of salah, if it's covering from the navel to the knees, even if from below it would be seen, it doesn't harm the prayer. There's no harm in that. It's only from above. But outside of the prayer, all the time one should guard their awra. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, let not a man undress in front of another man with only one cloth. He should keep something to cover him when he changes. And same thing for a woman. So they shouldn't undress with only one cloth. So they have to guard from that, you know, from letting their awra be exposed. They should avoid that, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. But this is, we're talking about somebody's at home. Actually, this is another issue we're going to come up. It will come up in the next hadith, inshallah, about if one is praying at home. Inshallah. So let's read a hadith together, inshallah ta'ala. عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها أنها سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتسن المرأة في درع وخمار بغير إزار؟ قال إذا كان الدرع سابغا يغطي ظهور قدميها. أخرجه أبو داود. So in this hadith, Umm Salama, the mother of the believers, may Allah have mercy, may Allah be pleased with her, she said that she asked the Prophet ﷺ, can a woman pray at home with one overgarment, one jilbab, and her khimar, without the wearing something underneath? Is that allowed for her to do that? The Prophet ﷺ said, if the overgarment is long and covers the top of the feet, and it covers the top of the feet. And this is narrated by Abu Dawud. So here, this hadith is narrated by Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her. Some of the scholars, they said it's the words of Umm Salama. And some of the scholars, they said it's attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. But in either case, the things that invalidate the prayer, these are things that are part of the ibadah. And Umm Salama, could she make up her own rulings on the prayer? Would that be possible for her? Does she have a right to do that? No. So this means that she, even if it was her own words, she must have learned it from Prophet Muhammad SAW, that the woman has to wear a dress that covers the top of her feet. So the word used in the hadith is a dira for the woman, which is like an abaya. But some of them, they said even it could be one piece that starts from the head, and it covers the whole body down to the feet. Some of them, they said it's like the jilbab that the women wear, and it covers down to their feet, and then she wears a khimar on top. So here, the question is, the woman, if she's praying, the dress has to be long enough to cover the top of her feet. Which means, are the feet, the top of the feet, part of the awrah in the salah?
Yes.
Yes, it's agreed upon. That in the salah, the woman has to cover the top of her feet. And if she uncovers the top of her feet, then her prayer is invalid. And this is very dangerous. Maybe a lot of women do not know this rule. She has to cover the top of her feet. And this is an agreement of the ulama. Now, if somebody is with her or not, does that make a difference? If there's somebody looking at her feet, or if she's by herself at home at night, does it make a difference about covering her feet? It doesn't matter. This is part of the salah. It doesn't matter if there's somebody with her or she's in her home. If she uncovers her feet, her prayer becomes invalid. Top of the feet. And so, same thing for a man. If a man is praying at home, can he wear shorts and uncover his knees? No. It's part of the prayer. It would invalidate the prayer. So Umm Salama, she said the dress has to cover the feet. Some of the ulama, they said, if you have to cover the feet, then what about the face? The face is much more important than the feet. And many of the ulama, they said the woman, if there's a man looking at her, she has to cover her face. Even in prayer, she should cover her face. And this is similar to Hajj. When we have the hadith that the woman doesn't wear the niqab, but Aisha, she said that if men were coming from the caravan, we would cover our face. So the ulama, they say that covering the face and the hands, if there's a man looking, they should do that. If there's no man looking, then they differ about covering the face. So if the dress is shorter and she wears socks, is this sufficient? Not every sock. Some of the socks are very thin, right? And they show the color of the skin. And so if a man, for example, is wearing a thobe, but the thobe is very thin, so that when he makes sajda, it goes near the leg and the thigh, and you can see the color of the skin. Is this allowed? This will invalidate the prayer. Same thing with a woman. If she wears the socks and is very thin, and you can see the color of the skin and on the foot, then it would also not be sufficient for her. Now, Imam Malik, he says that, what about the clothing that's very tight in the prayer? That if you're wearing, it shows the shape of the body. Is that allowed?
Not allowed.
Imam Malik considered it makruh. He considered it makruh. Now, if it shows the shape of the body. And inevitably some shape of the body of the awrah will show in the prayer, but it should be Imam Malik, he considered that makruh. Now, so the tahara is the first condition. Sutra al-awrah, for man and woman, they each... The tahara is the same for men and women. No difference. Covering the awrah, there is a difference for the man and the woman. The woman, she has to cover from the top of her head all the way to her feet. What about the bottom of her feet? The bottom part of her feet. Does it have to be covered?
Yes.
But when she's wearing a long dress, is it covering the bottom of her feet? What about in sajda, is it?
Ashan.
If she's standing up, then it's already covered, right? And then when she goes in sajda, then the length of the dress will cover the bottom of the feet. So it's only the top of the feet that have to be covered while she's standing, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? This is whether she's at home or in a masjid. Whether she's praying by herself in the middle of the night at home or in a masjid, there's no difference, inshallah. Go to the last hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah accept from you all, inshaAllah. This is the third condition. First was tahara. Second is covering the awrah. Third is facing the qibla. This is the order that Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he put. Facing the direction of the qibla. And this is a very important issue. We'll just touch on it today, inshaAllah, complete it next time. عن عابر بن ربيعة قال كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ليلة مظلمة فأشكلت علينا القبلة فصلينا فلما طلعت الشمس إذا نحن صلينا إلى غير القبلة فنزلت فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله أخرجه الترمذي مضاعفا. So here the third condition for the prayer is mentioned in this hadith. There was a Sahabi named Amr ibn Rabi'ah. He said, we were with the Prophet ﷺ and it was a very dark night. Very, very dark. We could not figure out the Qibla. We were confused about the Qibla. So we prayed. And when the morning came, when the sun rose, we realized we prayed in the wrong direction. And so, when that happened, the ayah came down, wherever you are, or wherever you face, is the face of Allah. Wherever you turn to, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn to is the face of Allah. Narrated by Tirmidhi. So here, this condition, which is facing the Qibla in the prayer, this is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says, فَوَلُّ وُجُوهَكَمْ شَطَرُ. Turn your face, شَطْرُ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. First it was to Bayt al-Maqdis, right? And then it was changed to Mecca, the Masjid al-Haram. So this condition is mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Sunnah, and it's agreed upon by all of the Fuqaha. In the Fard prayer, one has to face the Qibla. However, the word shatara, فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. This is a very amazing and miraculous word that Allah Ta'ala used. He didn't say, face the Masjid al-Haram. But he said, face the shatr, which is a semicircle, or the direction. The word shatr in Arabic, it means a general direction. And the reason why this is miraculous, this ayah, is that it is not possible to directly face the Kaaba in any masjid in the world when one cannot see the Kaaba. Because it is so precise that no matter where one faced, it's very, very, it's impossible to directly face the Kaaba. Because even the slightest difference would not face the Kaaba. So Allah says, face the shatara, the direction of the Kaaba. The direction of the Kaaba. No. And the only exception to that, in every masjid in the world, we cannot say that it faces the Kaaba except the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And that is because Jibreel ﷺ himself came down and he told the Prophet ﷺ, he showed him the Kaaba. And he said, this is the direction of the Kaaba, and the Prophet ﷺ put the mihrab there after it was changed. So the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, we know it faces directly to the Kaaba. But every other masjid in the world, it's based on a rough estimate, and this is sufficient. So the fuqaha, they agree, complete consensus, that outside of Mecca, facing the general direction, the general cardinal direction of Mecca is sufficient. If one is south, they face north. If one is north, like say you're in Medina, you face south, this is sufficient. If somebody's in Morocco, which way do they face?
East.
If somebody's in Najd, which or the area that is east of Mecca, you face west. If you're south in Yemen, you face north. That's sufficient. This is a full agreement of all the fuqaha. It doesn't have to be the precise, exact Kaaba. The general direction is sufficient. When, and they also all agree that if you're in the Masjid al-Haram, you have to face the Kaaba directly. Is it enough to face in the direction, but if you looked, you wouldn't face the Kaaba? In the Haram? In the Haram, they say you have to. You see the Kaaba in front of you. Yes. If you see the Kaaba, you have to face it. No. But what if somebody's blind? And they're in the Haram.
They have to ask.
So ask somebody next time. You know, they should help him to face the Kaaba.
There's nobody.
If he, yes. Yes. If he was, even if he's blind, if he didn't face the actual Kaaba, then his prayer would not be valid. No, so if you see somebody blind in the Haram, you should help them to make sure their prayer is correct. Inshallah. Okay. Now, so what about if you're in between? You're not in the Haram, and you're not outside of Mecca. You're in the city of Mecca, but you can't see the Kaaba. So do you have to just face the general direction, or should you face the actual Kaaba itself? Here there's some difference of views amongst the fuqaha. Some of them said that you should try to face the Kaaba itself, exactly. But since this is difficult, if he doesn't see it, then they say that the general direction is sufficient, and this is perhaps the correct view. One thing about the Kaaba, which is very interesting, the Qibla. The Qibla, it's part of the unity of this Ummah. It's the point, that point gathers every Muslim everywhere in the world. Since we all face this one direction, all of our salah and our prayers, they cross and they meet at the Qibla. So this is part of the unity of the whole Ummah, that we're all facing this direction, maybe at different times, because we live in different time zones, our prayers are at different times, but throughout the day our prayers are all meeting in that place. That point is a cross-section of every Muslim in the whole Ummah. So this is part of the unity of the Muslim Ummah. The scholars of geography, some of them said that the Kaaba is the highest point on the earth. Some of them, they mentioned this, Allah knows best, and the Bayt al-Ma'mur, which is the house in the heavens, is directly above the Kaaba. Allah knows best. If someone is far away, how do they know the direction of Mecca or the Qibla?
Compass.
If you don't have a compass. You can look at the stars, right? The sun and the moon, the sun. East and west, right? So you can get the direction from the sun. Or there's a north star, which points to the direction of north, and you can figure out the direction of the Qibla. What if he cannot, he does, it's a cloudy night. It's a cloudy night, and this is what the hadith is talking about. Cloudy night, okay, good. You ask somebody who lives locally, because they're familiar with the terrain, the area. They say this is the Qibla, even if you can't see the stars, you can't see the moon, the sun. But what happened now, in the case of the Sahaba, they were with the Prophet ﷺ, they had nobody to ask, it was dark, and they couldn't figure out the Qibla. So they tried their best and they prayed. Then they put a mark, yes, they made the ijtihad, and they put a mark saying, this is the direction we prayed. When the morning came, they looked at that mark and they said, we prayed the wrong direction. Completely the wrong direction. So what happened to their prayer? Did they have to repeat it?
No.
When the sun came out, the Prophet, they went to the Prophet and he said, your prayer is done. Your prayer has passed. Once the time is over and you tried your best, that is sufficient. What if nobody, the person didn't even try? Say somebody, he went to, and he was going to pray, and he said, I don't know where the Qibla is. Allahu Akbar. He just prayed without even trying. Yes. Is that valid to do that? What if he starts praying, he doesn't even try, he just prays, and then he finds out afterwards somebody says he prayed in a completely wrong direction. Should he repeat his prayer?
Yes.
In the morning.
Yes.
He has to repeat it because he didn't try. He didn't make ijtihad. So that is wrong because that's a wajib. This is an obligation of a salah. He left out an obligation, which is trying to face the qibla. What if he coincidentally faced the qibla, even though he didn't try, but he just happened to correctly face the qibla? Is his prayer valid?
Yes.
Believe it or not, some of the ulama said even then his prayer is invalid. Because he didn't try to do the wajib. He left out a wajib. So even though he was lucky and he got the right direction, but he still doesn't, his prayer is not accepted. Some of the ulama mentioned. And the last point for today is the first qibla was the Baytul Maqdis, right? Which is in Quds, in Jerusalem. And the Prophet ﷺ prayed that way for 18 months. So a question came up, when the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca, before the Hijrah, which way did he pray? Did he pray to the Kaaba or did he pray to Baytul Maqdis? Baytul Maqdis. So if he's in front of the Kaaba, he would turn away and pray in a different direction? They actually, the ulama say he prayed towards both. He put the Kaaba between him and Baytul Maqdis. And so he was actually facing both qiblas. This is what some of the fuqaha of this state. Now, and what's interesting, when he came to Medina, the Jews, they used to criticize the Prophet ﷺ. And they said, the Prophet ﷺ faces our qibla, but he criticizes our religion. He's facing Baytul Maqdis, but he's criticizing our religion. This is what the Yahud, they said in Medina. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولِ. We didn't make that other qibla except to know who's going to really follow the Prophet. It was like a test. And also the ulama say it was a way of how Islam tried to give da'wah to the people of the book, to the Yahud. It was like softening their hearts. You know, that some aspects of their sharia was accepted in the beginning, you know, to soften their hearts until Allah revealed the clarification that they should face Mecca, inshallah. Same thing with fasting Ashura. The Yahud, they fasted Ashura. The Prophet also fasted, not imitating the Yahud, because he did fast in Mecca. There was no Yahud in Mecca. But it was a way that Islam connected the sharia of the previous revelation to our deen, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the end of our lesson. Jazakumullah khair. Any questions before we finish, inshallah?
Well, if you're traveling in an aeroplane.
Okay. Fattakullah mustapat.
Just like that way, the plane is going that way.
Yes. The scholars say if you are on a ship, for example, and you have to pray sitting down because the ship is moving, you might fall down or something could happen to you. You pray sitting down, you try your best. This is one of the rulings that, you know, you try your best to fear Allah as much as you can. So if you can, if it's on your left and you face a little bit to the left and you pray, then this is sufficient. Some of the Prophet, he would, when he was riding his camel, and he was praying nafl, he would turn the camel towards the qibla and say Allahu Akbar and then go on his direction that he was traveling. So if you can face the qibla for at least a moment and say takbir and then, you know, try your best, inshallah, that will be sufficient. Your prayer is valid and you don't have to repeat, inshallah. Yes,
one question.
Yes, sure.
The it's suppose someone is impure.
Yes.
Right? And you know, like they slipped over in the masjid and ended up having
yes.
And like find it difficult to take a shower. Can that person stay in the masjid or?
They have to make tayammum. They have to make them. If there's no water,
find the nearest lake.
Right. If there's water available, they should use the water. If the water is cold, they should heat it up. If they don't have water, they should buy it from their neighbor, because the water is the first choice. If there's no water or they're very ill, they can't use it, and there's nowhere for them to get water, then they make tayammum. And if they make tayammum, then their prayer is valid, and they can stay in the masjid. That's a temporary purification until the water becomes available. There's a famous hadith of Amr ibn al-As when he was on an expedition and he became junub at night, and it was very cold. So he didn't want to wash with the water because he was afraid he would die. So he made tayammum and he led the people in prayer. So the Sahaba, when they came back to the Prophet ﷺ, they complained to him. They said, Amr ibn al-As led us in prayer and he was junub. So then he called Amr ibn al-As and he asked him, the Prophet says to him, what happened? He said, wallahi, it was very, very cold. And I was afraid if I washed, I would be dead. And Allah says that, you know, the earth is pure. So he said, I made tayammum. So the Prophet says to him, he acknowledge what he did. He didn't tell him to repeat the prayer. So it's allowed to make tayammum, and that would suffice for the rulings of entering the masjid, inshallah. Mashallah ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. Any other questions, inshallah?
Okay.
Yes, sure, brother. Alhamdulillah. I'll accept from you, inshallah.
Now, how much degree of, like, towards the Qibla? Because
yes.
Is there like a plus 15 or minus 15
right.
to know that if you are in the right direction?
No, there's no, you know, it's a general direction. It's a general. And then we're going to cover next week what is between east and west is Qibla. Okay. So it's just a general cardinal direction. It's not, you know, a few degrees. No, even anything between east and west is Qibla. You know, you would say almost 90 degrees is a flexibility. But next week we'll cover it in more detail. Barakallahu feekum, and I'll reward you. And please spread this knowledge to your families, especially the women. You know, this is a very important knowledge, you know, for your companions, and invite them, inshallah, in the future. Yes, well, last question, inshallah.
When you say the woman has to cover the heel,
yes,
is
yes.
It up to the heel or the ankle or the whole?
The whole top of the foot. The whole top of the foot should be covered. Nothing should be uncovered. Just the bottom of the feet can be uncovered, but the dress should cover the whole top. Inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah knows best. Allah knows best.